This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Islam. We continue بإذن الله تعالى the current program, the 40 أحاديث of Imam النووي رحمه الله. With your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute. We continue, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, before the short ad break, we had gone through some portions of hadith number 14, where our Rasul, our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, that لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث. The blood of any Muslim is sanctified, it is sacred, except الثيب الزاني, except the one who was married or was previously married or is currently married, and they fall into zina. And we touched upon the example of Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala an, and the female of the Ghamidiyya tribe, and how our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though they had committed this major sin, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had stood in their defense. Ya Abdallah, ya Amatallah. Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, he once had a debate with some from amongst the Khawarij. They said that, you know what, the stoning matter is not in the Qur'an. And so he said to them, show me the number of fard prayers, and the number of rak'as, and the timings of the various salawat. Show it to me in the Qur'an. Show me the zakah amounts, and upon what wealth would you pay zakah? Show this to me from the noble Qur'an. They couldn't. Then he says, why do you people do it? They said, because the Prophet ﷺ did so, and he said so, and the Muslims after him, they've been doing so. So then Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he said, well, the same with regards to the matter of stoning, because the Prophet ﷺ had done so, and the Muslims after him have continued to do so. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he mentions this example. Also take note, brothers and sisters, this was with regards to zina, this was with regards to illicit sexual intercourse, illegal sexual intercourse. With regards to the sharia, then the same rule would apply to the matter of homosexuality, that the penalty with regards to this matter is also the capital punishment. The penalty, similar capital punishment. There are certain rules which are slightly different. For example, you find that some of the ulama of the opinion that when it comes to the matter of homosexuality, then here the condition of the person being thayyib or not thayyib does not apply. Whether you were married, whether you were never married, irrelevant. The matter of homosexuality is such a crime that the only one penalty applies, and that is the penalty of death. Whereas with regards to zina, there's the distinction between the one who's married or was married and the one who was never ever married, then here it's 100 lashes. We also find that some of the ulama of the opinion that for homosexuality, the penalty is not death, rather it is ta'zir, and that's for a separate discussion, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. As for the claim that somebody might make, he says, well, you know what, this is my natural inclination, etc., etc. We say, well, even the matter of zina, you have Adam, and Adam is rather attracted to Saliha, and he really wants Saliha, and he's really attracted to her, and he's really tempted by the zina. Does it make it fine? Does it mean that it is legal? Somebody has bowel movements, natural. Does it mean that they can relieve themselves anywhere they like? No. There's rules, there's manners, there's etiquettes, there's the boundaries, etc. And so similarly with regards to the matter of homosexuality, somebody might be tempted, their desires might be here, there, wherever, but it does not mean that this is now legal. Same with the matter of zina. You have two heterosexuals, he's attracted to her, she wants him, but it does not mean that they can be together in a sexual manner. Rather, the law has stipulated that a nikah is required between both of them. Brothers and sisters, then our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam moves on to the next matter, and that is the matter of one nafsu bin nafs, and a life for a life. That if a rational adult intentionally murders another Muslim, then the murderer will be put to death. This is qisas, a life for a life. If, for example, a rational adult intentionally murders another Muslim, male or female, then the murderer will be put to death. This is qisas, a life for a life, a hand for a hand, an eye for an eye. Allah states in the Noble Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى الْحُرُّ بِالْحُرِّ وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. Verse number 178 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah has legislated for you this qisas, and a freeman for a freeman, a slave for a slave. Also Allah mentions, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ Surah Ma'idah, verse number 45. And we have legislated for them a life for a life. Obviously, brothers and sisters, for this matter, and similarly with regards to the matter of zina, there are obviously conditions. There are conditions, there are certain impediments which must be removed. For example, with regards to zina, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions that we do not have a single case up to his time, and as some ulama said, up till today, where we've had four witnesses coming forward that they have seen brother so-and-so sleeping with this female, and they actually saw the male private organ enter into the female private organ. That's the condition. Four adult males must witness this. If, for example, one's unsure, if, for example, there was a blanket over the couple, etc., etc., then this penalty would not apply. Allah musta'an. So the conditions are rather stringent. Similarly, with regards to the matter of qisas, a life for a life, the conditions are extremely stringent. This is obviously once the person's found guilty, etc., then this qisas will apply. If the family of the deceased, they come forward and they say, you know what, we do not want to take the life of the murderer, rather we will take the option of completely forgiving him. Then they have that option. We take the option of blood money. So we will not take his life, but rather in lieu of that, we want some blood money, etc. Then they can even opt for that. Walhamdulillah. Take note, brothers and sisters, with regards to this hukum, an-nafsu bin-nafs, a life for a life, the ulama have debated certain matters. They've debated, for example, the killing of a slave. So if someone had killed a slave, he's a freeman and he took the life of a slave, will he also be put to death? There's debate. If one takes the life of a non-Muslim, there's also debate here. If it's a non-Muslim that the Muslims were at war with, from a group that the Muslims were at war with, then definitely the Muslim would not be put to death. But what if a Muslim takes the life unjustly of an individual who was living within the Muslim borders, within the Islamic State? What's the ruling here? Then there's debate, majority of the ulama, and on the other hand you have the Hanafi scholars, and so there's debate amongst them there. The Hanafi stating that the Muslim would be put to death for taking the life of this non-Muslim, whereas majority say no, other penalties would apply, but not his life. There's also debate with regards to a father taking the life of his kid. Father killed the son. Will the father be put to death? Many of the ulama state no. Majority of the ulama state that the father will not be put to death. Does it mean that he goes scot-free? No. There are other penalties which would be applied upon him. We could, for example, lock him up, until death. Life imprisonment. But the penalty or the punishment of death won't apply. Remember, brothers and sisters, there's a qa'idah, there's a principle, that the hudud, penalties are done away with in cases of doubt. Any type of doubt then we give preference and we give benefit to the to the individual who's on trial, and the penalty is done away with. We move on to other penalties, but we do not take his life. Then the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions at-tariku li dinihi al-mufariqu lil jamaa. At-tariku li dinihi al-mufariqu lil jamaa. The third individual whose life is no longer sanctified, whose blood is now permissible to be spilt by who? Spilt by myself? Spilt by yourself? No, it's not some vigilante type of action. Rather, it is the government, it is the leader, it is the court, it is in their hands that this individual now is in. Atariku li dinihi, the one who leaves the deen. By leaving Islam, أَتَارِكُ لِدِينِهِ الْمُفَارِقُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ. By leaving Islam, then technically it implies then one has also separated from the community. So it's not a separate condition. أَتَارِكُ لِدِينِهِ, the one who has left Islam. الْمُفَارِقُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ, this person has abandoned the community. This abandoning the community is not another separate condition. And that's the opinion of the classical scholars and most of the contemporary scholars. We also find the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَقْتُلُوهُ. Whoever leaves his religion, then have this person put to death. يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ يَا أَمَتَ اللَّهِ. In many a country up till today. If, for example, you give off state secrets, etc., you could be tried for treason. And the penalty for treason is death. What greater treason is there than treason against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Treason against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were not forced to become Muslim. Nobody forced you. لا إكراه في الدين. But now that you are Muslim, now you leave, then this would be treason against Islam. This would be akin to treason against Islam. Also, this could, for example, be a reason in causing a great fitna amongst the Muslims. You have this person was Muslim for 50 years, now suddenly he makes an announcement, you know what, I'm not Muslim any longer. Somebody else comes out and makes an announcement there, etc. This causes instability. But remember, if somebody was a Muslim and this person quietly has left Islam, we wouldn't even know about the matter. We wouldn't even know about the matter. The matter wouldn't go to court. So this is only when somebody comes out in public, somebody makes their leaving of Islam a public affair. Once you do this, then the penalty would be applied, pending all other conditions. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this is the general rule that the one who leaves the deen of Al-Islam, then the death penalty would apply. And that's the general rule. There are obviously other conditions which must be applied. There's debate amongst the ulama with regards to the female apostate. The male apostate, death sentence. Female apostate, the Hanafis differ, and they say no, that there would be other penalties which would apply, but not the death sentence. And majority deferred with the Hanafis in this matter. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again states, La yahillu damu mri'in muslimin illa bi ihda thalath. The life, the blood of a Muslim is sanctified except under three circumstances. Number one, athayyibu zani, the one who was married previously or is currently married, this person's not a virgin, and this person's fallen into zina, then that sentence would apply, stoning would apply. Wa nafsu bin nafs, you took the life of another, then your life would be taken. وَالتَّارِكُ لِدِينِهِ الْمُفَارِقُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ, and the one who leaves the deen and separates from the community. By leaving the deen, this automatically means that you are separating from the community. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we find that many of the fuqaha, the jurists, the scholars of the various madahib, they also apply the death penalty to some other crimes. Example, they apply it to the sorcerer, the black magician, the one dabbling in sihr, etc. Based upon the hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, haddu sahir dharbatun bis-sayf, bis-sayf rather, dharbatun bis-sayf, that the penalty for the for the sorcerer is that they would be hit with the sword. Rawahu Tirmidhi, hadith reported by Imam Tirmidhi. We also find that bestiality, Allahu Musta'an, this individual satisfying themselves with an animal. Man wajadtumuhu waqa'a ala bahima faqtuluhu waqtulu al bahima. Rawahu Abu Dawood. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you find anyone, you know, satisfying themselves with an animal, then have this person put to death and the animal too. Reported by Imam Abu Dawood. Why kill the animal? Subhanallah. Because that animal, in reality, out of mercy for that animal does not want to live any longer. This animal has been desecrated. Allahu musta'an. Similarly, we find some of the fuqaha of the opinion that, and some of the muhaddithin of the opinion that if an individual is found guilty of consuming alcohol, first, second, third, fourth time, then on the fourth time, then this person would be put to death. Some of the ulama of the opinion that a thief caught first, second, third, fourth time, on the fifth time, if he's caught, then he also would be put to death. And similarly, the penalty for the one caught spying against the Muslims. This individual, a Muslim from amongst them, but subhanAllah, he has been passing on information to the enemy. He's a spy for the enemy, grand treason, and the penalty is also death here. Some of the ulama state that for incest, the same rule applies. So between family members, Allah musta'an, you have the zina. Here many of them state that the condition of thayyib is not really applicable. That may Allah save us. You have, for example, this father, and he's in a relationship with his daughter. Na'udhu billah. Many of the ulama state that if there's this illicit relationship between maharim, between mahrams, then the penalty is only one, and that is death. We don't look at whether you're virgin or you're non-virgin, whether we give you 100 lashes, etc., whether you thayyib, etc. No. Rather, this crime is too major a crime. This crime is too major a crime. You know, what desire could there be for this father to be tempted, you know, by his daughter? For example, the son and the mother. May Allah save us. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. And many of the fuqaha, the Hanbalis, the Shafi'is, etc., the Malikis also of the opinion that the one who does not pray at all, at all, at all. This person was arrested, taken to court. The judge told him, you need to pray, brother. Given him a few days to start praying, and he refuses, and he does not pray at all. No salah at all, then this person would also face the death penalty. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, these are some of the crimes. So we say that this hadith covers three of them generally, and there are other ahadith which also add to these three. Some ulama said, technically these three in this hadith, they form, you know, the overarching type of rule. So for example, athayyibu zani, so all the other type of zina, homosexuality, all of this incest fall under that category. Nafsu bin nafs, for your qisas matters, taking the life of another. Tariku lidinihi, the one who's causing a major unrest in society. And so all examples like that, the highway robber, etc., would fall under that category, and Allah knows best. Some benefits from this hadith, brothers and sisters. Number one, we learn importantly that in the sharia, the sanctity of every Muslim, the life of every Muslim is given and accorded the highest level of sanctity. His blood, his reputation and honor, and lastly, his property. And for infringement upon every one of these three, there's a penalty. You slander somebody, you say that this person's a zani, this person's a fornicator, this woman's a loose woman, whatever. There's a penalty for that. You cannot just go around talking about people like that. Allahu musta'an. Number two, you take the property of another, you're a thief, then there's a penalty which applies. You spill the blood of the other, you cut off his hand, cut off his leg, you stabbed him, then there's a penalty which applies. You've taken his life, a penalty which applies. A life for a life. We also had gone through those crimes where the penalty for the crime is death. And we learned that the penalty is only applied by the hakim, by the ruler, by the court. It's not for myself and yourself to go around doing as we wish. And Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, fil qisasi hayah, that in this qisas, in this life for a life, there is life. How come? You're taking the life of another for the life of the other, and there's life in this? Yes. Because subhanAllah, it's a deterrent. When we have this penalty which applies, people know that if I kill another unjustly, I will be put to death. And thus, the crime rate bi'ithnillahi ta'ala goes down. Same with regards to theft. When people know that their hands will be cut off if they are caught stealing, then the crime rate also goes down. And besides Muslim countries, many, many non-Muslim countries, many, many Western countries, even up till today, they have this penalty of death. As for about 50, 60, 70 years ago, then majority of the countries around the globe, you know, still had the death penalty enforced. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with that we come to the end of hadith number 14. Walhamdulillah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, in our next majlis, we will move on to hadith number 15, which is the hadith reported by Imam by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, whoever believes in Allah and the final day, falyaqul khayran, let them say good, aw liyasmut, or be silent. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and whoever believes in Allah and the final day, فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ, then let him have ikram, let this person show ikram to his neighbor. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَ, and whoever believes in Allah and in the final day, let him honor his guest. So say good or be silent. Honoring of your neighbor and honoring of your guest. Bi'iznillahi ta'ala, we will discuss this hadith and more hadith in our next majlis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. Yawma la yanfa'u malu wa la banun illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. On that day when nobody's wealth and health will be able to assist them except the one who came to Allah with a heart which was sound. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to forgive us for those sins committed with our tongues. We saw the hadith of Ma'iz and we saw the hadith of the Ghamidiyya female. Both of them had fallen into zina, but when people spoke ill of them, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defended their honor. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we do not know how many times we speak ill of this one and that one, and we do not know the reality of that person. Maybe that person made an error, maybe they made a mistake, maybe they fell short, but maybe they also stand up for tahajjud salah, maybe they gave some private charity, nobody knows about it, etc. Allahumma sta'an. Until we meet again, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, until we meet again, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, we bid you farewell. Hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.